Welcome to this podcast from the Episcopal Diocese of Central Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Leslie Carter, and I'm joined today by Dick Rose, the Senior Warden of St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. St. Mary's has been experiencing some pretty terrific revival and growth in the last year or so, and today Dick is here to talk with me about how strategic planning played a part in bringing that revival about. So I want to say welcome, Dick.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Why and how did your parish decide to embark on a strategic planning process?
Well, actually, St. Mary's strategic planning started in a rather innocuous but interesting manner. The fall stewardship cycle was kicking off. This was actually in 2008. And the vestry was discussing possible ways to increase giving. As the chair of the finance committee at the time, I was the bearer of bad news. You know, in 2008, the comedy was in trouble. The market had gone way down, and our endowment was quickly being consumed by operating expenses. And we had recently gone through an exercise to evaluate the remaining endowment and just did a little bit of made some assumptions on various stock performances and escalating operating expenses, and no matter how we run the numbers, we concluded that we would run out in a few short years. So the vestry was kicking around the idea of doing some long-range planning, and of course at the time that was centered on money, or perhaps the lack of it is a better term. The chair of the stewardship committee, since we were entering the stewardship campaign, suggested that I should head this planning up, and I was quite surprised. But having just retired, and I did have some background in strategic planning, I reluctantly agreed. But frankly, I had not the foggiest idea how to parlay my experience in government and industry into strategic planning for a parish. It almost seemed like squeezing oranges and hoping to get grapefruit juice for me. But fortunately, God has a way of guiding and leading us, even those of us who are reluctant to be guided. And indeed, that is what transpired at St. Mary's. In fact, I'll never forget the first meeting of the long-range planning committee. Mother Linda and I had discussed several possible approaches, and we'd put together a PowerPoint presentation laying out some options. And keep in mind, at this point, the approach is centered solely on the financial end. And we expected a small number of parishioners to attend, but we were pleasantly surprised when nearly a third of the active membership showed up. But then as we proceeded through those options, actually surprise number two came was a way that the discussions just consistently turned away from the financial and focused instead on the core parish missions. And I think for me anyway, that was a turning point when there was one very astute lady made a comment that if we concentrate on things like worship and spirituality, outreach, taking care of our members, and the finances will follow. They will fix themselves, I recall her saying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't help but believe that was God speaking to us via that lady's astute observation. And then from that point on, actually, our process took on a much broader view, since that lady actually turned out to be very right. We shied away from that point on from the financial side and looked at the actual mission of the parish.
What were some highlights of the strategic planning process for you?
Well, after the false start and the regrouping, we headed, of course, in a totally different direction, and actually used more of a conventional planning methodology. We decided to spend some time on documenting the baseline, you know, which was kind of where we were at the time. We determined our strengths and weaknesses and opportunities in the community. We did a parish-wide survey, which I thought was very revealing, and it became apparent that the focus should revolve around three primary areas: worship, spirituality, membership and communication, and of course the financial side. And what we did, there were several parishioners stepped forward and decided that they would chair these three subcommittees. And each of the subcommittees developed a mission statement and goals and objectives, and identified over time a series of actions to incrementally reach these goals. And one of the important rules that we was to establish goals that were realistic, actually goals that were achievable and measurable. So the high point from my perspective was the enthusiasm that was exhibited by the across the entire parish. So many folks stepped up and took an active role in maintaining, you know, St. Mary's in the community and meeting our goal of leaving a legacy for future generations. I think the only low point, from my perspective anyway, which I guess really turned out to be a positive, was at least my impression that we were solely looking at financial and that, you know, that would be our main problem, which it really wasn't. You know, our problem really was more than financial. It really was getting back to the mission of the parish. So, but in the end, that turned into a positive. It was a valuable lesson that the core mission of, you know, serving the members of the parish and the community are the primary thing.
What would you recommend to parishes who may be thinking about starting on this road of strategic planning?
Actually, I think there's a couple of things. First, don't be afraid of seeking outside help. One of our more productive sessions that we had was led by a representative of the diocese who assisted us in helping to prioritize all those various things that we had come up with. It was pretty easy to come up with a list of things, but, you know, to prioritize the important ones and the other ones that could perhaps wait. It really, you know, because many of them were presented some sort of a conflict within the parish, because obviously there are people who, you know, that stuck to the, well, it's been successful for all these years, let's continue doing it, and other ones that wanted to try different things. So we did get help from the outside, and I think that's probably one of the big things. I think the other thing is certainly important is to think both near term and long range. You know, establish goals both near term and long term that are achievable. There's little sense, you know, we found in shooting for something that is clearly, you know, can't be reached anyway. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you know, we didn't want to understate a goal merely to ensure it's achieved. So we spent quite a bit of time reviewing, you know, what our goals were and then putting them into some sort of a sequence, so much accomplished over the first year, the second year, the third year, and so forth. And by achievable, we found that it was much more realistic if we could put some figure to it or something that we could wrap our arms around and actually evaluate. As an example, maybe increasing the average attendance, the Sunday attendance at the end of the first year by a numerical number or by a percentage or something that we could actually measure. So so a small number of our goals were, in the end, were found to be unrealistic, but that's okay. You know, we were able to adjust them as we went along and learned as we went, and it worked.
In my day job, I work with United Methodists. And there's been a lot of conversation in the last couple of years about church vitality and using really measurable metrics and really focusing on those metrics to measure how vital a congregation is. How important do you think those metrics are? Because some things can be measured, like increases in average Sunday attendance. Other things that may indicate a church's vitality that are less tangible can't really be measured. So where do you see that balance working?
I just think it's important to find a way of actually measuring. I guess And that comes somewhat from my background in planning and industry and government. But we were able to put a fairly decent metric on every one of our goals. Now, obviously, some of them were a little bit subjective, such as increasing the number of parishioners who, you know, help out in outreach activities or activities within the parish, participation, in other words, outside of just Sunday service. And we didn't put a metric on that simply because it was one of those things that was just very hard to actually rate. But our objective was somewhat measurable simply by, you know, the number of activities we were able to undertake. You know, as an example, we were able to add an awful lot of a whole bunch of different activities like things like we did a St. Mary's food booth in the community, movie night, game nights. We added an annual pancake supper, and some of these you know, some of them weren't successful, so we dropped out of them. But some of those that I mentioned are ones that are continuing. And they all were directly attributable to new blood, new people stepping up and becoming interested in the in managing the church activities. I think the other part of that is lay leadership. We've had several parishioners step up and take on, volunteer for the vestry and volunteer for other leadership roles.
What are some other ways in which the strategic planning process has impacted the various parts of your parish's ministry? You've already touched on a few, but I'm wondering if there are others that you'd like to lift up.
Well, I think the worship activities are one thing. We they have been expanded considerably, and that's where I think the lay leadership took a very active role, much more active role. As an example, Bible studies. There's Bible. We offer now more Bible studies than we ever had. We have Wednesday night Compline, that's a weekly thing. We were able to expand the Lenten services. You know, several things of that nature that are really, really helpful. And it engages, you know, it engages a lot of parishioners that just come in and sit through it. And we found that over time, some of those, we learn then what their capabilities and their desires are, and often find that if we go to them later and ask them to take on a specific role, then they're more than willing to do that. And of course, there's a lot of outreach activities, community support activities. I mentioned before the food booth is one of them. We have a community food bank that we donate to every month. We have a monthly ladies' luncheon, a weekly men's breakfast. All these things were new, and not only do they help in the financial side in raising funds, but they make St. Mary's much more visible in the community, both within the community and within the parish. And those were added on top of the traditional outreach activities that were going on that we've maintained. We do a lasagna dinner every year in conjunction with Election Day, and the community loves that. You know, rummage sales that have been ongoing by the women run that, and that's a large community event that's held twice a year. We do a family adoption for Christmas, things like that. That have expanded actually even more since we did our long range planning and got more people interested.
What are some other things perhaps that you've experienced thus far in living out the strategic plan that was developed?
Well, I think that probably the most important thing that we've experienced is that this isn't a one-time process. You know, we don't we can't do the plan and then just you know, sit back and wait for it to materialize. It does require maintenance. It requires you know, kind of a continuous cycle of reviewing it at least yearly, semi-yearly is even better. revising the goals if we have to, or establishing new goals, introducing new ideas, and adjusting, of course, as the population of the parish changes. I think otherwise there's a real danger of becoming stagnant, kind of running in place.
Right. I was going to say that the tools and the resources that you have for ministry don't stay static, because you have some people leaving, hopefully even more people coming. And so the resources that are available to you to act out the strategic plan change over time. I mean, a church is probably even more, you know, it changes even more over time than perhaps you might have experienced in industry or government in that respect.
Very much so. And I think that's a healthy thing. We have several new members that have joined. Some of the older members that had taken an active role have come back in. And so even though, you know, we're not unlike other Episcopal parishes of our size, we have a pretty healthy mix of the older folks. But we've got some young members in now, some younger members, some new to the Episcopalian faith, some born into the church, you know, and a mix of traditionalists and progressives. So it's, yes, we have to continuously look at that and adjust accordingly. And, you know, one of the things I think that is important to point out is that in this regard that we have to do this is because, you know, we're reaching the end of the five-year plan that we put together. In fact, 2013 will mark the end of that five-year plan. And we didn't achieve all of our goals, but I mean, most of them we did. On the financial side, we've done pretty well. We're almost there to be, you know, our original goal was to be fully independent of any outside sources, any dependence on the endowment and so forth. And we're very close to accomplishing that. But in these other areas, we know we have to keep them up. We have to keep the spiritual and the worship side new and continuously revitalizing it, and the outreach activities and things like that, or we're going to slip right back into, you know, the financial side being a real burden. So what we've done, and Mother Linda's going to talk about this, I think, more later in another session, but last fall, when we looked at the progress of the LRP, the long-range planning that we did, we thought it might be good to head in not a different direction, but a complementary direction by going through an appreciative inquiry, an AI process. And that's what we're involved in right now. We're in the midst of that.
Because this podcast will be posted in early October, which often is when most parishes get their stewardship program rolling, I'd like to ask you what you think. How is strategic planning connected to stewardship? How do they impact each other?
Well, actually, our stewardship is, I guess, one of the real, real high points of our long-range planning. Our stewardship prior to the planning process, the long-range planning process, really was, it was, you know, send out the pledge cards and hope for the best, and that was about it. And we had a, we in this long-range planning process, we had a lady step up that, to a younger member of the parish that stepped up and volunteered to take on the leadership in this committee. And several people helped her, and we have a real vibrant committee now, and it's really surprising how it works. Although the finances did take some of the back seat in the planning process, it really ended up being a successful occupant of that back seat, and in my opinion, the stewardship played a huge role in that. What she did was she recruited a core group of committee members who just seemed to be able to come up with new ideas each year to carry that message, both in the financial side and giving of their time and talents. Every year they come up with a different theme and present it in a variety of ways. We usually do it over a 3 to 4 week process, and it's kicked off already for this fall. And we do it in a lot of different ways. It's been done in the past a couple times theatrically. We do it by letter, always send out letters anyway. We always have either a parish breakfast or a dinner that combines, you know, the congregations from both services, and just try to keep a variety of different and new ideas into this process. As an example, this year's theme is casting into deep waters, and it's combining the spiritual journey with the resource side, based upon, of course, the gospel. So it's we're going to be using that theme to build on throughout this 4-week process, and then culminating in the first week in November with the actual stewardship day when people hand in their pledges. And I really expect it'll be a very successful campaign. We are going to be a little bit more deliberate this year in the financial side, but not, of course, making it the most important. We still think that if people continue to step up and give their time and talents, and the money will follow.
Any final thoughts before we conclude our conversation?
Well, the only thing I'd like to say is that we learned an awful lot in this process, and we have several people that lay leaders that now are quite familiar with how we did it, the mistakes we made, the successes we had, and I think it's important that we share that with the diocese and even further if necessary. And I know I am available, and there probably are others that would volunteer to guide and help any other parish that wants to go through this.
Terrific. We'll make sure that information gets out, because I'm sure parishes will want to take you up on that. I want to thank our audience for listening to this podcast. This is the first in a series of 3 conversations with individuals from St. Mary's in Waynesboro about this process. So for those podcasts, as well as other podcasts and resources from the Diocese of Central Pennsylvania, please visit our website at www.diocesecpa.org.